Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. Tracy's Paws is a local nonprofit assisting animal rescue organizations in San Diego County. They also work with the community to help people be the best and most responsible pet owners they can be. Joining us this morning is Tracy's Paws founder, Tracy Wilkerson-Steckel. Welcome, Tracy.
Hi, thank you.
Nice to have you on the show today, Tracy. I appreciate you coming out. We're going to talk about your organization, Tracy's Paws. How about we start with a little background information on the organization? When did you start it, and why start an organization like this?
First off, I want to say thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity. Tracy's Paws is definitely my baby. I actually started this in 2012, but we were incorporated and received 501c3 in 2013. And I think a lot of young girls' dreams are to have a ranch with animals running rampant on there to save everything they can and put it on this little ranch. But I knew I couldn't do that. And I knew I could not have a rescue, but I did want to help. And I did see a great need for assisting all of our local rescue organizations. So I was kind of putting some ideas to paper and decided maybe I come up with an organization that is more of a supportive organization to all of our local rescues. So that's how Tracy's Paws started.
Okay. And what is the mission then at Tracy's Paws?
Well, Tracy's Paws is a nonprofit organization. We're dedicated to saving homeless pets' lives by assisting our local rescue organizations. And we want to increase their adoption success rates. And also, we like to provide some assistance to our local pet owners in our community.
Now, do you just work in San Diego County as far as the rescue organizations, or do you help others throughout the state?
Well, we primarily work with our organizations in San Diego County. We do have a need. We've actually been asked to work with a couple of organizations in Orange County. And then for the last 4 years, we have worked with an organization up in Fresno.
Where are you guys located here in San Diego County?
Well, we actually just have a home office, and we're out of Mission Valley, but we have our events all over San Diego County, like from Vista all the way down to Eastlake.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you were the first 501c3 nonprofit of your kind founded for pet rescue assistance. Was that just here in San Diego County?
Well, you know, to my knowledge, from the team we were working with, our legal team, it was all over California. And even in some other states. And that was one of the reasons why we were, it's sometimes people think it's great to be the first, but sometimes it's not when it comes to something like this, because we were very concerned with getting our 501c3 status.
Now, you assist pet rescue organizations and the community with pet adoption and humane education, so you're not a rescue organization yourself.
That is correct. We only provide assistance to our local rescue organizations and other organizations in the community.
Okay, and I want to talk about how you're assisting rescue organizations and working in the community in just a little bit. But first, what is your background? How did you get involved with doing work like this? And did you have dogs growing up?
Oh, my word. Well, I'm from a small town, Devine, Texas. So we actually grew up on 6 acres. Well, I say we. I grew up on 6 acres of land. I'm the only child. And I think a lot of people, you know, we didn't have neighbors very close by. So they said, oh, there's a little kid living out here in the country. Let's just drop a dog off. So at one point, we had 6 dogs and 13 cats on our property that had been actually dropped off by people who didn't want them anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So that, I think, was instilled in me that my parents were very avid on proper pet ownership and how to take care of your pets and to not dump them. If you don't want them, you don't get them. So I'd have to say it started from childhood. I grew up with a lot of animals. And then actually throughout high school and college, and even after I started teaching, which was my first actual career, I was always given unwanted pets, unwanted classroom pets, you know. Oops, I got a dog and my mom said, no, can you take it? I think I had sucker written on my forehead. So starting from a young age, it kind of just stuck with me. And I was like, you know, it's time. I really want to do something on a larger level. What can I do to help the pet overpopulation crisis? And so I guess just one thing after another led to the birth of Tracy's Paws.
So when you were younger, so your parents didn't mind taking in all these other animals?
Well, I believe we all had the same heart. So there was
you had a large property, though, too,
we
right?
We did. And what they would do is they would have to take the responsibility of going to the vet and getting them spayed, getting them neutered. We usually always had a mama cat or a mama dog dropped off right before the babies were born. Mm. So that was kind of common. And, you know, in Texas, there are a lot of people who have a lot of pets, you know, roaming around anyway. So it was just kind of the thing. And they felt like it was their responsibility to take ownership and to actually take care of the pets that were dumped onto our property.
So that was instilled in you at a young age.
It really, really was.
And then when you were in college, same thing?
Same thing. I was actually, it's funny, I used to dispatch at our university, and I remember one of the police officers brought in a cat that had been just wandering around her yard, and they actually put an ad in the newspaper, kind of dates me, an ad in the newspaper, found cat, and after about, I believe, 4 weeks, no one claimed her, so I took her.
So did you have a lot of pets then at that time in your life too?
Well, actually at that time I'd only had two because I'd actually rescued my very first pet at 18, and she was a cat from the Animal Defense League of Texas, and I adopted her when I was 18. She was this cute little kitten, and then I had a little dachshund that I took ownership of. And then came this little cat, Millie.
So are you more of a cat person than a dog person?
Well, you know, as an adult, I had two cats and two dogs. I've kind of had two of everything. So I'm just an animal person.
There
I love them all equally.
There you go. So now, again, you have several different ways that you help rescue organizations. Let's talk about some of those ways. First, you have pet adoption events.
Correct.
Tell us about those.
Well, you know, I'm kind of always trying to come up with a new creative way to get animals adopted and find new homes. So I'll have just a straight up adoption event. We'll have an adoption event. We'll choose a venue. We'll choose a rescue. We'll invite them out and people can come in and see all the animals they have. Sometimes we have pet hospitality events. I think we'll discuss that a little bit later, but we'll try to incorporate an adoption event into that event. So a lot of times piggybacking, is that not the proper way to say that?
It works.
Piggybacking off of other events sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You always have a lot of people at a public event. And so if you've got dogs or cats or small animals there, you can usually find someone who would make a great new pet owner as well.
And these are for rescue organizations. So the animals
Correct.
Are coming from the rescue organizations.
Correct.
And what types of animals? Do you ever get any large animals besides a dog or a cat?
Well, we have not had a chance to work with them directly, but we are also part of the San Diego Rescue Coalition, and there's also a horse rescue a part of that. But we personally have not worked with any large animal rescues yet. We have worked with the Exotic Bird Sanctuary and small animal rescues for mice, rats, guinea pigs, and rabbits.
Really?
Yes.
Mice?
Yes. Well, you know, it's like a lot of people might, they'll have them to breed for feeder mice for reptiles, and someone will save them, and they'll take them into, like, We Companions. They'll take them in and say, hey, look, I have all these mice, and I don't know what to do with them, and so they'll adopt them out. And it's better than buying one from the pet store.
Yeah. I actually had a mouse as a pet when I was a kid, but it was part of a school project, I think.
I had two mice as an adult. Well, that was another thing. I had quite the collection of animals that I took in from my previous coworkers when I taught. There were a lot of unwanted classroom pets, and I had two rats, two mice.
Oh, okay. So how often are these pet adoption events held?
Well, they're not actually regularly scheduled. However, we do have 2 to 3, maybe 4 events a month. And we try to have at least 6 adoption events a year.
And how successful are you at adopting out these pets or these animals at these events?
You know, most of our events that we have are highly populated. We have a lot of traffic. So we'll have some adoptions are taking place on site. But actually, nowadays, very few are. So they'll accept an application at the event, and then they might adopt the dog out or cat out, small animal out, in the next day or two, maybe even a week later. So actually, it turned out to be very successful. You know, it's funny because it's a challenge because I have to make sure I stay in contact with the rescue to find out, because it's true. I mean, with the lack of, you know, time and volunteers on everyone's parts, it's sometimes difficult to get an accurate number immediately. Sometimes I won't know for another 6 to 8 weeks.
And again, just to stress and reiterate, you facilitate these pet adoption events. You don't they're not ones that you actually put on yourself.
That's correct. What I will do is I will find a venue. And I will basically just prospect venues. I will reach out to rescues. I will find sponsors. I do the marketing, and I pretty much just facilitate all the aspects of it. And then the rescue just has to come. Well, not just come. They have to, you know, bring their animals and set up and get all their volunteers there. But we assist with, you know, helping them with their animals, getting them set up. We also have volunteers that can help us at times to help them get their animals set up as well. But yes, these are the rescue's animals that they bring. They're not ours.
And how many animals do you typically have that are up for adoption at these events?
I'd say probably like 6 to 8 per rescue, 6 to 8 per rescue.
And another thing that you do out in the community, it's your humane education classes. How do these work? What is it that you're teaching at these classes, and who runs them?
Okay, so we're currently working on our own curriculum for humane education, but in the meantime, we work with other organizations, other rescues that already have a humane education program in place. And what we'll do is we will also find the venue. We will have a request from maybe a Girl Scout troop or a homeschooling group that will say, you know, we really want to add this into our science class or just into learning how to be a responsible pet owner. And I'll work with the rescue that has a humane education class, work with them. They will have their volunteer come out with an animal, maybe 2. It could be a rabbit, guinea pig, or dog. And basically what we want to do is we want to teach the kids and even their families what it's like to be a responsible pet owner. And a lot of times that starts with just how to properly handle the animal. And that there is responsibility that goes beyond, you know, just petting and playing with it. You have to feed it and take care of it, clean up, different things like that. So it's basically how to treat the animal and responsibility.
And how would somebody then, somebody interested in having one of these classes, how would they go about doing that, setting it up?
We actually have a page on our website for our events and our work, and there's a little section on there under humane education. They can click on that and then send us a direct message. They can also email us a request, and our email address will be on the website as well. It's under savepets@tracyspaws.com.
Now, do the kids and adults that go to these classes, is there any hands-on activities with the pets?
Oh, my goodness, there certainly is. And, you know, it's funny because it's amazing, like, how much the parents love these classes. You expect the kids to be the ones who love them the most, but, you know, the parents love them equally as much, if not more. And, yes, we always have a time where the kids can come and handle the animals.
And do you find, do you get much feedback from these classes? Do you find that kids then go and get a pet as a result of these classes?
Yes, but I hate to say this, but even something that I might like even more is that the family realizes that they're not quite ready to adopt a pet yet. So, you know, you do have the parents who really are on the edge. They're like, they've been waiting for a long time. They really want to adopt the pet because they want the whole family to be on board, but they just want to make sure that they think their kids can handle it. And then they go on with the adoption. But then there are some families that say, you know what, this was a great resource for us, and I'm very thankful that we came because we were going to adopt an animal. Now we're not quite ready. We'll wait.
Well, that's good, though.
It's very good.
That's good that they came to the class and realized that this is not the time.
Exactly. And, you know, with the pet overpopulation crisis, a lot of people, they really don't realize some of the responsibilities that come with having a pet, and that's why a lot of them end up in the shelters. So if we can prevent it from an early age, you know, educate the kids, educate the families, say, okay, these are all the things that go along with pet ownership, and we can actually kind of put a stop to the animal going in the shelter system from the very start. I mean, that's just something that you can go to bed and feel really good about at night.
That's the key right there.
That's the key.
Yeah. Now, you also facilitate pet food and bedding drives. How many animals do you think you've that have benefited from this service of yours?
Oh, hundreds. In the last almost 6 years, we've collected thousands of pounds of dog food. We have been very fortunate that we have had, well, we always have one during the holidays, but then a lot of our other events, we will incorporate a pet food or bedding drive, like at the Paws parties.
Which we're going to talk about.
And it's very nice to see how many people bring these things, but also how many pet food stores and just pet supply stores are so good about getting a vendor out and bringing a lot of samples or just bringing out a pallet of food to donate. It's been great to to have the support that we've had for these drives.
And where do these take place?
All over San Diego County. We might have one at a local pet store. We might have one at a gym or just some location wherever we have it. Maybe at the AIDS walk or the Alzheimer's walk, we'll have like a little section, a little booth set up just for the donations, and people can drop it off when they come by.
I see. Now, speaking of the Alzheimer's walk, last year you started up a new service. It was pet therapy sessions, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, like Humane Education, this is not our program, but it is a service that we do facilitate for the community. And we've been very fortunate to work with Love on a Leash, and Sue's been very helpful. And what we'll do is we will set up a booth for pet therapy at the Alzheimer's Walk, because a lot of the walkers actually bring family members who have dementia. And so, you know, just actually going through this in my own family with my stepfather, I know that sometimes you want to bring them to the walk, but they might not, you know, they might be a little agitated and might have some anxiety. So you can bring your family members to this booth and sit with a certified therapy dog and their handler. And it's amazing. It's calming. You see smiles and bright, you know, bright faces. And it's been really great to add this to our pet hospitality. And through this, we've actually worked with the Alzheimer's Association of San Diego on a greater level, and now we're helping them at some of their events they have at their main office. Like, they'll have, like, painting for memory, and then they'll ask us if we could facilitate the pet therapy so the dogs can come in and visit with them while they're painting.
We are getting close to running out of time, and there are a couple of things that I definitely wanted to touch on before we wrap up. And you did mention this before, and that's your pause parties.
Yes.
This is a regular event that you do, right?
It is. You know, it used to be a by pet basis, but it got to where it was just, we were running out of space, time in the day, because we might have like 6 or 7 dogs that wanted to have a birthday party at the same time. So the paws parties are actually pet birthday parties for a cause, and it can be for any animal. We actually had a bird day party.
Bird day.
Yes. And for a cockatoo who's turning 68.
Wow.
And so we raised a couple $1,000s for the organization, and we had a lot of people out, and it was great. So what we do is we have a birthday party now on a monthly basis. It's the third Sunday of the month, and right now our next venue is going to be at the Laurel Street Dog Wash, and it's on November 18th. But we celebrate all the dogs that have birthdays or gotcha days for that month, and then we also incorporate a dog food drive for that, and then we pick a local rescue that's a beneficiary for that.
And how far in advance does someone need to book one of these parties?
To actually book, and if they want a special pup birthday cake, they would need to schedule at least 6 weeks in advance if they want to have all the extra bells and whistles. But if they just want to come out and have a good time, it's nice if they RSVP at least, I'd say, a week ahead of time.
Okay, and another regular event is your Doggies and Donuts.
Yes, Doggies and Donuts. Actually, it started after I taught. I was in the automotive industry, and I really wanted to have dogs and pets out at the Cars and Coffees event. But unfortunately, it's really not the safest space to have a dog. You have loud cars. You've got a huge parking lot full of cars going in and out. So I wanted to kind of have something one of a kind, but also kind of take after the Cars and Coffee. So we have Doggies and Donuts. And I actually met Chef Santiago with the donut bar while I was in the automotive industry. And he's actually sponsored donuts for us. But we also find a community sponsor that will sponsor the donuts and coffee for us. And it's pretty much like an indirect adoption / networking / meetup event.
And how often are these held?
These are quarterly. And we actually have one coming up on December 15th at the Courtyard in East Village.
That's a great place.
It is so fun. It's great.
Is there a cost for the Doggies and Donuts? Is there a cost for your humane education classes?
Well, for Doggies and Donuts, there is not a cost. This is kind of our way to give back to the community. Everyone can just come in, get some free coffee, get free donut bar donuts, and just network. And, you know, we'll have rescues that bring their adoptable dogs on leash so people can kind of get a feel for them in a more natural environment of just kind of like a group environment. And this is free to everyone in the community. For our humane education classes, it really depends on the rescue we're working with, on how much they want to charge, and then we can try to decide a nice ticket price. It's usually like $25 to $35 for the mm-hmm. humane education classes.
Okay, now these events are part of your fundraising efforts that you that you have as part of Tracy's Paws as well. Right. And you have a big event coming up in December. This is your an annual event, right?
It is. I am so excited. This is actually our third annual event. It is Unleash the Holiday Cheer. And this event was started because I wanted to find another way to help save more homeless pets, but also bring awareness to not only pet adoption, but to a military appreciation. So what we do is we have this huge family pet-friendly holiday festival out in Liberty Station each year, and we have a lot of games and activities, crafts, Santa, pictures for pets and kids, just a ton of things out there that's a lot of fun for the entire community. But it's free for all of our military and veterans that want to come in and participate. And then on the side, what we do, we raise funds for sponsoring adoption fees for military families that want to adopt a pet. And honestly, Unleash the Holiday Cheer would not be the event it is without our grantor, Macbeth Foundation. I'm very thankful for the grant that we received to actually facilitate the event, all the expenses. And then also for our title sponsor for 2018 is Betta Fulkerson Law Group. And I'm very thankful they're providing a donation that will cover about half of the adoption fees for cats and dogs to our military families.
That's great.
I think so as well.
Okay, and the beneficiary of this event is Helen Woodward Animal Center, correct?
Correct. For 2018, our beneficiary is Helen Woodward Animal Center. And so a military family that wants to adopt, or even a veteran that wants to adopt a cat or dog through our Unleash the Holiday Cheer event, we will actually be adopting the dogs and cats from Helen Woodward Animal Center.
And the money raised, does it all go to Helen Woodward?
All of the ticket fees, so it's $10 for an entry ticket for all of our civilians. 100% of that ticket fee goes into the Military Pet Adoption Sponsorship Fund. And so when you get your ticket, you're not only having a ton of fun that day, but you're also helping save a homeless pet's life.
And can people get tickets at your website?
They sure can. They can go to tracyspaws.org. Pull down to the Unleash the Holiday Cheer and click on it. You'll see all of the amazing things that you are actually going to be participating in. It's over thousands of dollars in value for a $10 ticket, and then you can click on it. And then if you'd like to actually sponsor a cat or dog adoption for a military family, you can also do that on that same page as well.
And how can somebody help you with your mission at Tracy's Paws?
Well, you know, people don't like to talk about the boring side of, like, keeping the lights on, like with keeping the website up and, you know, postage and shipping. And if a family isn't there to take, we have a drawing, and if they're not able to take the gift home with them, we'll ship it. So different things like that. We really can use donations for those things as well, the behind-the-scenes things.
And in-kind donations?
Correct. That would be great. We do accept those as well.
And with all the different events that you facilitate, I would assume volunteers play a big part in what you do at Tracy's Paws.
Oh, my. Yes. We can always use volunteers. We have so many events annually, and we may only need two volunteers at a time. But with our Unleash the Holiday Cheer event, we really could use 50 volunteers. So I know we have a current list of volunteers, but if anyone is interested in volunteering, I would love for you to reach out to us. You can also find that volunteer page on our website, and you can send us an email if you're interested in volunteering with us.
Okay, once again, you're Unleash the Holiday Cheer. What's the date again?
It's actually 3 weeks from this morning. It's on December 2nd in Liberty Station at NTC Park.
Great place to have an event.
It is great. I love it there. I love that space. It's our third year. It's not the exact same space we were in last year, but it's very close by, and it's just beautiful and open, and it really is a great place to have people come in and enjoy a fun event.
And what time is it?
It's actually from 11 to 2.
Oh, so a daytime event.
It's a daytime event. And right across from where we will be set up, they're actually having a nice event for Hanukkah. So we decided this year, since it's the first day of Hanukkah, we have some of our crafts for kids will be Hanukkah crafts. So you can bring your families down, come to our event, and then like the last hour of our event, they can head over because that's the first hour of the Hanukkah event.
Mm.
So it's cool.
Very nice.
Yes. So everyone can enjoy our event.
And tickets for this event, they can get at your website, right?
They can.
Okay. And what's your website address?
It is tracyspaws.org. TRACISPAWS.org, And there will be a page for Unleashed a Holiday Cheer where you can buy tickets for our event.
And are you on social media?
I am. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, but I've been very awful about keeping up with that, so apologize.
Okay. Well, Tracy, thanks very much for being on the show today, for all you do also at Tracy's Paws and for the animals in our community. It is appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me today.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Serving Seniors. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.